Support for Here and Now comes from BetterHelp, committed to supporting mental health through therapy. Clients are matched with one of 25,000 therapists and can communicate via video, chat, or phone at betterhelp.com/public.
Here and Now is a production of WBUR Boston in association with the BBC World Service and PRI.
I'm Robin Young. It's Here and Now. Tonight, the Boston Bruins will face the Vancouver Canucks in the all-important Game 6 of the Stanley Cup Finals, and GOP presidential candidate Mitt Romney will drop the first puck. No, of course he won't, but you'll forgive us for the conflation. Politics is sport here in New England, and it's got some tough competition tonight. At the same time as the game, the first significant Republican presidential debate will take place in New Hampshire. Frontrunner Mitt Romney will be there, and former Minnesota Governor Tim Pawlenty, trying to break out of the back of the pack, has already launched the opening salvo, unveiling a new term, Obamacare, a shorthand way of saying that the health care law Romney enacted as governor of Massachusetts is the same as the one President Obama signed into law. Can Romney switch the topic to jobs? He's trying. He debuted a new ad today in which ordinary Americans take issue with President Obama's characterization of the recent unemployment numbers as a bump in the road.
I'm an American, not a bump in the road.
I am an American, not a bump in the road.
I'm an American.
Also tonight, Newt Gingrich, without a posse, have his top aides defected to Texas Governor Rick Perry. Businessman Herman Cain, Congressman Ron Paul, former Senator Rick Santorum, Congresswoman Michelle Bachmann, who, when she last visited New Hampshire, confused their capital, Concord, with the one here in Massachusetts, where shots were heard around the world. Either way, we're going to stay with that theme. The starting gun is tonight, so we're going to spend a few minutes on the field with two veteran political watchers. Peter Walston covers politics for The Washington Post and joins us from their studios. Peter, welcome.
Thanks, Robin.
And Felice Bellman is executive editor of the Concord Monitor up there in New Hampshire. She joins us on the line. Felice, welcome to you as well.
Thank you.
So let's start with you, Felice. Polls do show Mitt Romney way ahead of the field, tied in a recent poll with Barack Obama. In fact, the second in the recent poll of Republican candidates was Rudy Giuliani, and he hasn't even put his toe in. So how hard do you expect the other candidates to go after Romney?
I think that's exactly what tonight's about. It's everyone proving that there's somebody else in the race. I think polls are a little funny, at least in New Hampshire, at least this early, because people know Romney's name. They don't even know all these other people yet. And so, yeah, he's way ahead. But I think this is really the first time. If they're not watching hockey this evening, maybe they'll find somebody else that they like equally well.
So, Peter, what's the disconnect, though? Because he's way ahead in almost all polls. But the party doesn't seem, or at least party activists don't seem to like him. I'm thinking of Tea Party activists like Dick Armey. We're reading one New Hampshire voter in a Boston Globe article saying, yeah, I don't know why people don't like him. What's this disconnect, this perception that he's not liked, but he's number one in the polls?
Well, it's a very interesting dynamic. This distrust existed 4 years ago when he ran as well. And it's because he was elected in Massachusetts. He had positions in the past that he had to change in order to be accepted as a conservative in the Republican Party. So that's his legacy. It's always been the authenticity question with Romney. But now what's fascinating is that there is this tension with the quote-unquote Tea Party wing of the party, which I think is essentially just the conservative base of the party at this point. The question a lot of Republicans are asking themselves is, we may not trust Romney on every issue, but maybe he's the best person to beat Obama in a general election. And so what we're going to see over the course of the campaign is a true test for the first time since the Tea Party movement was born, a true test of how powerful it is as an ideological movement within the party and whether that ideology will win out over perhaps the more pragmatic question of electability.
Yeah, well, and Felice Bellman up there in Concord, New Hampshire, Rush Limbaugh seems to think that it matters. He recently said bye-bye nomination because Romney declared that he believes climate change is occurring. But do you think that Rush Limbaugh, the Tea Party, count as much there in New Hampshire as they might in other states? Not that you don't have we've just seen a very vibrant Tea Party movement there that almost got a senator in, I think it was. But what do you think the feeling is up there?
One of the Tea Party organizers is now the head of the Republican Party in New Hampshire,
right.
And a real Tea Party crowd has taken over the legislature. I do think that some voters are sort of having second thoughts about who they elected to the legislature, so whether that plays out in this election, I think, is to be seen. But it is definitely a dynamic up here, and I think people are skeptical of Romney's health care plan. I think people have seized on that as a reason that, you know, wasn't so prominent 4 years ago, but now, you know, they've decided they don't like what President Obama did, and they see this as the same thing.
Well, and as we said, Tim Pawlenty in the back of the pack there coined this term yesterday, Obamacare, hoping to really draw more attention to Romney's plan here, which he has said, look, that was for the state, especially the mandate that I'll be covered. I wouldn't, as president, say that every state would have to have a mandate, but still, Pawlenty drawing the line. And Romney's campaign reacted to Pawlenty yesterday, you know, pretty much scolding him, saying Republicans need to fight Obama, not each other. But, Felice, a weekend Boston Globe poll of New Hampshire voters say that they're not really even that interested in you know, fighting Obama. They want to hear plans for the economy and unemployment.
Yeah, and I think, you know, this turn of phrase from Pawlenty, I thought was pretty smart. I mean, I think before they can even think about Obama, they need to prove to voters here in Iowa and the other early states that there's actually somebody running beside Mitt Romney. You know, some of these candidates have been in New Hampshire for a long time. Rick Santorum, Herman Cain, Ron Paul, they've been among us for months and months, and yet somehow voters haven't quite tuned in yet, and I feel like it's just this debate is maybe the true beginning.
Well, Tim Pawlenty's really been up there. You've been telling us that for a while.
Yes.
And Peter, yesterday, one of the political dynasties up in New Hampshire, the Sununus, former governor and senator, father and son, said on CNN that they thought Tim Pawlenty had a real chance to break out here. Your sense of that?
Well, I'm certainly not. I'll defer as an expert of New Hampshire politics, I haven't been up there in a while to report
sure.
this out. But I will say that Pawlenty, perhaps more than some of the others who are lower in the polls, has an infrastructure, has a campaign, a sophisticated campaign, a lot of smart people behind him. He's been working it very hard. So if he were to rise and catch on with voters, he has the infrastructure to carry it through. But again, so does Romney. And Pawlenty has a lot of questions to answer as well about his record what kind of a governor he was in Minnesota. And voters will begin to tune into that, too, and start asking those questions.
Well,
and the Romney campaign, I'm sure, will help them
do that.
Ask those questions.
Yes, draw attention to that. But Felice, tell us about New Hampshire voters' thoughts. Pawlenty has laid out a plan to grow the economy 5% in the next decade. I don't want to get too nutty here. But he wants to entirely eliminate taxes on capital gains, dividends, and interest income. And another thing I thought was fascinating in the Boston Globe poll, which, again, they printed some of the results yesterday, is that most poll respondents said they prefer to reduce the deficit by raising taxes on the wealthy. Doesn't that go against everything that every single one of these candidates has been saying?
It does. And, you know, that's a complicated result because a typical New Hampshire election that has a Republican promising to cut taxes, that guy wins. No matter what he's running for, that guy always wins. And so if people are really thinking differently about that, and it may just be, you know, what they've seen at the state level, which is really, really quite dramatic budget cutting that even, you know, sort of mainstream Republicans have sort of balked at. So, it is very interesting.
Well, let's take a look at some of the rest of the field. Newt Gingrich. Tonight's debate, his first high-profile appearance since his top aides resigned last week, since, as Maureen Dowd wrote, he chose Calista, his wife, and a cruise over campaigning. He joked about all of this last night in a speech.
As someone who has been in public life for nearly 40 years, I know full well the rigors of campaigning for public office. In fact, I've had some recent reminders.
Yes, with just about all his aides across, you know, people in campaign offices across the country quitting. Peter Walston, do you think he can get back on this horse?
I don't know. I mean, the power of Newt Gingrich has always been his personality and his public persona, the fact that he is a political celebrity and he'll draw a crowd wherever he goes because for a lot of conservatives, they like listening to him and he's interesting. So I'm not sure his top campaign advisors were really the key to that anyway. But he's just at the moment, he's not being taken that seriously as a candidate because he doesn't have the campaign behind him. And perhaps the biggest problem of all was losing his Iowa team. It's been interesting that Newt has been building this for a long time, and he really had hoped to tap into the Tea Party movement as his key to success. And there was always a difference between the way he viewed the Tea Party movement and, say, a Mitt Romney, who sees it much more as kind of a mood in the electorate as opposed to a movement. And so it's interesting that Gingrich had been building up this infrastructure, and now that disappears. So what does that leave you? It leaves you a kind of a charismatic, interesting candidate. It's not clear that that's enough to win.
Well, but does it mean that Texas Governor Rick Perry is jumping in because some of those who quit were his aides?
Yeah, I don't know. I can't say for sure whether he will. I think it's very likely from what I hear from some conservatives who are urging him to do it. Some of Gingrich's top campaign aides have been and are close advisors to Rick Perry. So the way it's been described to me is that if Rick Perry decides to do this, he'll have a senior team in waiting, which is extremely valuable for somebody getting in late. And, of course, he has a lot of other advantages in terms of financial resources with Texas donors. And he's just got a big Rick Perry will have an automatic campaign, and there will be instant interest in his candidacy from conservatives.
Yeah, Felice Bellman, just take a look at some of the others in the field for us. Rick Santorum, uber conservative, although we're hearing voters in New Hampshire say, we don't have time for social issues right now. We want to talk about the economy. Ron Paul, who many of his followers are saying, hey, talk more about Ron Paul every time we talk about candidates, but he doesn't seem to be lighting a fire. And then you've got Herman Cain, the African-American former Godfather Pizza CEO, who's done quite well in the debates where Mitt Romney didn't show up. So just who's resonating, or who are you looking for?
But I got to say, every time I've talked to a friend or a colleague or a voter who has heard Herman Cain up close, they come back sort of delighted that he's fun to listen to, and he's entertaining, and he's smart, and he's right on. And it's sort of, you know, we know he's sort of the bottom of the barrel, and yet I sort of like it. So it's people are sort of thinking about that. Rick Santorum, I think, has problems in a place like New Hampshire. You know, the sort of social issues, real right-wing social issues, have never really gone over in a big way here. You know, and two, I think what's just as interesting is who's not going to be on the stage at the debate tonight as who is. I mean, we talked about Rick Perry, but also John Huntsman may or may not run.
He's President Obama's former ambassador to China, but also the Mormon former governor of Utah. Some say he might give Mitt Romney a run for his money. He's not going to be there.
No, and he's been here for days. I mean, he acts like a presidential candidate. He's in Concord. He's everywhere.
Well, and I just want to ask about one last one in the minute we have. Peter Walston. Michelle Bachmann's going to be there, even though she hasn't officially declared. You can have fun with the fact that she mixed up Concord, New Hampshire with Concord, Massachusetts, but you're taking her seriously.
Yeah. I mean, I think mistakes like that, I don't think voters care too much about it. And especially for somebody like Michelle Bachmann, that's good for her to play off, you know, her versus the media elite. She's a very powerful speaker, very charismatic, and conservatives love her. So she will be a factor, especially in Iowa.
Well, and you say she may resonate. Let's hope people in New England are watching, because, as we said, the Bruins versus the Canucks tonight. If the Bruins lose, they're out of the Stanley Cup, so they may take away some listeners. Peter Walston, White House correspondent for The Washington Post, Felice Bellman of the Concord Monitor in New Hampshire. Thanks to both of you.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Of course, we'll be doing the right thing. We'll be watching this for you tonight and continue to talk about this. Up next, the dead zone in the Gulf.